Welcome to the airport lounge. Table for two gentlemen? Right this way. Here's your booth. Have a great show.
Welcome to the Airport Lounge, the Winnipeg Jets podcast, much like the Jets' future at the center position, lacking talent. I'm Mike Guthrie, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend, the Imodium AD of podcasting, because he doesn't get the trots, Vaughn Mitchell. How's it going, buddy?
You've worked on that one for a few days.
I've died, that one. I put a little work.
Well, Mike, I feel like I'm in need of a fresh start. I feel like I need to rid myself of some long-standing personal details.
Oh.
Some of what needs to go has been around for a long time, but it just isn't working for me anymore. I'm in need of some personal manscaping.
Oh, you did it.
Kind of like the Winnipeg Jets. Both with my personal appearance and with the current profile of the Jets, everything appears to be a bit messy and in need of some reprofiling. Both parties require the ridding of unwanted parts. We need a coach. Among the things we need a coach that will not only improve our form, we need a coach that will protect our balls that we have and also grow our balls. So for our next coach, if it were up to me, I would hire Manscaped, the brand the balls trust.
Oh my goodness, that was well done. Well, if it wasn't obvious, and I hope it was, we have a new sponsor, and a prolific one at that, of the podcast, Manscaped, and Vaughn just hit a home run on that one. I had fumbled through the ad read trying to figure out how we're going to do that, but it doesn't get any better than that. We'll probably work that in near the end too. But just for our listeners, there's a promo code, and if you do Airport Lounge, if you go on their site, there's lots of good stuff. They sent us swag. We got swag, Vaughn.
We did. It's amazing, and we want to go to the Face Off Hockey Network website, because not our website, right?
Right. Yeah. Face Off Hockey Network.
Yeah. Face Off Hockey. This is real. Like, I know we make up fake sponsors all the time. Some of them we pretend, but some of them are fake. This is real. We got stuff in the mail. It is incredibly high quality stuff.
It is.
It's really good. And you know, yes, we were bought off, but I'm genuinely impressed with the product.
I would have sold yourself and myself and whatever product we're producing here for much, much less. So yes. This is a win-win for both parties, because it really is a really good product. And, you know, I'll just come out and say it. The nose hair trimmer for gentlemen our age, fantastic. Works like a charm. So We would encourage anybody, if you have gift-giving needs or just something for yourself, go check it out, Face Off Hockey Network. And then if you're getting anything, put in Airport Lounge, and it helps us out and helps the website out a bit.
Yeah, so just so we're clear, the code you put in is Airport Lounge, Mike?
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, we're serious about this. It is great stuff. It is stuff for your nether regions. And this they have a really good cause. They donate and invest in some money.
Excellent, yeah.
To support cancer research into testicular cancer. So there's a good side to it, too. So check it out either through the Face Off Hockey Network website or just on your own. It's quality products. It's made for men like us. And if you're, I was going to say for the ladies who listen to the show, but I doubt there's any. This is, I think we know our demographic.
Our
wives don't even listen anymore. So, yeah, check it out, guys. It's really good stuff.
Well, that's probably the one bit of good news that we're going to discuss on today's podcast. Kidding. So we're going to do a bit of a rapid fire. The previous title of this segment is Check-In Time. We're going to do some checking in.
What the fuck is going on?
But we'll do it. We've got a number of topics to cover, most of them wildly depressing, really questioning the future, and there's been a lot of press and publicity on a number of these items, but we thought we'd give them a whirl. Where did you want to start, Vaughn?
Well, I think the logical place to start is with the coach.
Yeah.
And we received the news earlier this week that Barry Trotz was not going to coach this year. He was not going to coach the Winnipeg Jets. The Winnipeg Jets had gone pretty much all in on that option. And I know I have some thoughts, but I want to hear from you, Mike. What was your take on the announcement, and how do you feel about it?
Well, I mean, it was prolonged, and there's there were some iterations both on social media and even through some, I would put in quotations, legitimate reporting sources. And this was sort of forecasted as a done deal through a number of outlets. And we'll get to that later. But so that was the first painful part, was that it was a sort of a roller coaster of emotion.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
And I had convinced myself on a few occasions that this was gonna happen. His connection to Winnipeg and to Manitoba seemed palpable. And for lack of a better term, I was drinking the Kool-Aid a bit. I had sort of sunk the Jets' future into, and we'll touch on a number of the moving parts now, but my thought was that if we can establish Trotz and he can bring some, you know, some legitimacy to the role and hopefully turn the fortunes around, that some of our trade candidates and wandering-eyed players might get snapped back into line and we can right the ship, so to speak. I understand there's a lot of good candidates, you know, Montgomery, Tocchet, Burnett, Lalonde, Darnielle, Vincent, Carlisle, all the sort of the regular names. But the biggest part, to my mind, again, no insider knowledge on this, is that it seemed to me that the Jets kind of went all in on this.
Yeah.
So my biggest worry now is that we're scrambling, in that I don't know to what extent we were conducting any extensive interviews while the Trotz hiatus was happening. And I'm a bit worried that, you know, and a number of coaches got, and we'll get to that later too, a number of coaches and good ones got picked up in the interim. And so I'm a little worried we're scrambling, and I know when you're scrambling, you make sometimes unwise and uncalculated decisions. And so is it catastrophic? No, but it's bad news, and I won't sugarcoat it. It's really bad news. I was counting on that heavily.
You know, you bring up a lot of good points. I agree. I do think that it was disappointing news. I don't think it's necessarily bad news. Time will tell in that regard. I was convinced that Trotz would come in and do a good job. I wasn't convinced that he was the perfect guy for our situation and to address some of the issues, outstanding issues that we have with our player personnel. I don't think he was going to come in and smooth everything over. In fact, I think he was going to come in and shake the tree a little bit and see what stayed and see what fell out. I don't think this was a move that would have smoothed over a lot of the issues that we're facing. In terms of other people that are available, I think a lot of other teams that moved quickly, I agree, if you don't move quickly, maybe you're scrambling at the end, but if you move quickly, you're making...
Catch 22, yeah.
Yeah, you're making decisions without, in the absence of a lot of information, right? You get your eyes set on a guy, you get your guy. I do appreciate the Jets went all in on Trotz. I like that mentality. I don't think Trotz would have been a bad get for them. I do think that the door is not closed for us in getting a good coach. If you take a look at the two coaches that are currently coaching in the Stanley Cup Finals, this is both their first head coaching gig in the NHL.
Yeah,
right?
Fair enough.
Both of them had success at the AHL level and weren't head coaches of other NHL teams before they got to their current NHL teams. And now they're head coaching two of the better, two of the best, and have been and will be better teams in the league. So I don't think we've necessarily closed the door to bringing in a really good coach. It doesn't make it easier, for sure. And you know, the profile of who Trotz was prior to coming here may not mesh particularly well with the players we have. So this chapter, or this book, has a few more chapters in it, I think. And it could end poorly for us, most certainly. But I don't, like I said, I don't think we've closed the door to the possibility of bringing in someone that can really do a good job. So I wasn't as apoplectic as other people have been. It was interesting that some of the people that, you know, were quite negative about Trotz coming in were also negative about the Jets not getting him. It's like, you can't have it both ways.
That's Jets Twitter, though.
Oh, it is.
Excellent point. And to your point about the Coopers of the world, I tend to agree. I get a little myopic sometimes, where, and a little unifocused, where it's like, well, Trotz is...
He's certainly the romantic candidate.
There you go. Thank you very much.
And it's okay to be like that. This is about fandom. It doesn't have to be rational all the time. Like this podcast, we want it to be fun. Let's make it fun. Trotz would have been a fun guy to come in.
Yeah, you know, we could have.
Free beer for life.
Yeah.
That stuff was fun. That stuff was fun. And I do think he would have done a good job for us. But I don't think he's the only guy that, you know, could do well with whatever. We have a lot to talk about with this club right now. But I don't think getting Trotz or not getting Trotz it brings us any closer or further away from where we need to be.
Yeah, and last I'll say on it is basically, you know, I know several times, so each time that we've played Florida in the past 2 years, and I'll just talk about this year specifically, I have directly said we should play like Florida. We should play how Florida plays, fast, aggressive, high octane, you know, as opposed to the Maurice formula of, you know, keep everything low chance, low risk, low reward. And guess who's available? I mean, I don't know a lot about Burnett, but again, will I be able to talk myself and get excited over if he got hired? Absolutely, I will. It's just sort of the initial disappointment of a week to month long courtship that went sideways.
Where it looked like at times we were going to get him, like it was a done deal. There was some suggestion out there that it was True North that was the party that wasn't sure, that was the second to sign on, that Trotz is ready to go. Yeah, brilliant job to bring up Paul Maurice, because that segues us nicely into our next question. Paul Maurice to Florida. What's your take on it, Mike? I know what it is. Just for the listener, I know exactly what Mike's take is, and I love it. I just want him to share it with the rest of you.
Good luck, Florida. Have fun with that. Well, I can't understand if teams don't have analytic departments or they don't have the internet. I understand that on the macro level, when you look at Maurice's overall resume, and this was a large argument for him while he was still here. The Maurice stands always would cite, well, you know, he's the, whatever it is, third or fourth most winningest coach, and you know, his winning percentage isn't that terrible, and the Jets made it to the conference finals. Congratulations. Maurice has an outmoded philosophy. I don't think he fits in today's NHL. I don't think that his systems, whether they were good or bad, whatever they weren't communicated properly, and that's half, if not more than half, the battle. And I can't understand why a roster as talented as Florida would want to gum up the works. I wish him the best. We've said it many times. He seems like a great guy, affable, likable, great with the media. But ad nauseum, we had been calling for him out for years and years. And I think, I just don't understand how a guy at the end of his tenure at the Jets basically said, I lost my passion for coaching.
There it is.
And then all of a sudden, he says he's getting hired on a Stanley Cup contender. Does nobody have a media person? I couldn't believe it, actually. It came as quite a shock. So, again, I wish him the best, but I think it's a terrible, terrible move.
Well, the Florida Department of Due Diligence was apparently on holidays. Either that or Google isn't working in Florida.
Because they need a new Wi-Fi password.
If you had just Googled Paul Maurice and his exit from the Jets, you know, this, just as you said, here is a guy that went on and said, I don't have the passion to coach anymore.
Right.
I can't move the needle with this group anymore. It was, you know, as emasculating a departure as one could imagine. Now, perhaps his cojones are, well, you know,
Manscaped?
Perhaps they're manscaped enough. They're on a regular basis. Like, listen, he's got to be manscaping to have this type of ego, right?
I think
after I've said this publicly, right, which is available on the internet, that I can go into another interview and convince these guys that I'm the guy. Like, he ruined Patrick Laine, or he tried to ruin him, and you're entrusting him with Alexander Barkov. I don't get it.
Yeah,
it's very strange to me. It's not that I don't think Look, I understand why this type of opportunity would bring Paul Maurice out of quote-unquote retirement. I totally get that.
No, for him, I get it. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not the type of job I'd see him getting, in the sense that I would have seen him want to go to maybe a team that was struggling more, like a team that had less options.
Arizona?
Like Florida would have, exactly. Would have had, you know, the pick of the litter, given their... you know, they're very, very solid roster. And then to go with someone like Paul Maurice, I don't know, maybe they're thinking more corporately, like we need someone who's more savvy with the media. You know, the hockey part will take care of itself. I don't know. It's a strange one. You know, I don't wish ill upon the guy, but I just mean in terms of, you know, things that are lining up in a logical sense in this world. And I know not much does anymore, and a lot of, this is an oversimplification, but a lot of good things happen to bad people. I don't think Paul Maurice is a bad person.
No,
that's not what I'm saying. Mm. I'm saying, is he deserving of this opportunity in Florida? And I think superficially, the answer could very well be no. Again, he's a fine human being. I'm sure he does a lot of good things, you know, family, community, and all those types of things. But his body of work as a coach, especially recently with the Winnipeg Jets, doesn't necessarily seem to lend itself to affording him the opportunity to work with this type of roster that's on the brink of potentially a Stanley Cup final and opportunity. So it's a bit of a weird one for me.
It's a head scratcher. And speaking of which, you mentioned Patrick Laine. This ties us a bit to our new favorite, PLD, and reports that surfaced this week that, you know, well, it wasn't reports. Elliot Friedman came right out and said it, that he was basically announcing that at the end of 2024 that he was going to explore free agency. And I think the best way to explain this, and I think it was something, and I apologize, I'm not crediting the person who I saw it on Twitter, was basically like, you're in a relationship and you go to someone and say, I'm breaking up with you in 2 years.
Yeah.
And by the way, what's for dinner?
Yeah. Like, by the way,
I don't know if it's an unforced error on his part, but it's, to me, it's very symptomatic of a larger problem with the Jets, which we'll get to in a topic coming up, but that, and I, maybe some of it's taken out of context, but basically the sort of just outright gall to come out and be like, I'm basically locked in with this team for 2 years, but I'm letting them own now. I do not care for it here, and I'm going to be exploring. I know there's permutations of that, and he probably was going to explore free agency anyway, but without context, as a fan, it reads to me, I hate it here. So I'm going to make it very clear to everybody right away that at the end of my tenure in 2024, I'm out, and that just sucks. I wish I had more analysis. I know he hasn't put together a full top center season, but the potential is just burgeoning. And so this is just sad. I'm just sad about this.
It is sad. And, you know, I'm a big body language guy. I've always thought his body language, like he's never seemed happy since he's been here. And I don't know why. It's hard to really pin it on, oh, well, he's getting picked on in the dressing room. Well, we have no information that can confirm or deny that, so it's kind of useless to speculate to that extent. My best guess is that, you know, like this even goes beyond a play to seek clarity on the Scheifele versus PLD,
right? Yeah,
like it has come out as definitive. Do what you want to do. I'm going to UFA in 2024. So, you know, conceivably the Jets could say, okay, we'll build around you. We'll trade Scheifele. We'll trade Wheeler. And, you know, based on what he said, which is the only thing we have to go by, he's still going to UFA. So this one's going to be a difficult one to try to analyze and make sense of, in that it could mean so many different
things.
Right.
There's so many iterations of
this. There's so many iterations of this that they'll only really know. But I don't even know if Chevy will know exactly what PLD wants. This opens the door to so many different scenarios, and I think we'll get to it at the end of the podcast. But I know what I would do with all these things that are going on right now. I know what I would do. It is, we'll get to it, but this is unfortunate. I will say this. I really like PLD. I have questions whether he can be a long-term number one center.
Oh.
I think he is a fine player. He is a fine player. But is he a true number one center?
Finally, we come to my number two man. His name, number two.
I think, you know, if you put him on a line with Kyle Connor and maybe move Ehlers onto that line and load up that line, it could be a very productive line.
That's fair, yeah.
And he could do his part. But even in, like, when Scheifele was good, and no, hear me out. When Scheifele, because Scheifele's always done the offensive thing, but when he took some care in his own zone, he was quite a bit better than anything I've ever seen from PLD.
Yeah, now, and I'll PLD give you that, absolutely.
PLD has a physical side to his game that Mark Scheifele never did, but Mark Scheifele, when he wants to play a complete game of hockey, which he has shown, is an absolutely, like, absolutely a number one center. There is no two ways about it. I'm not sure, A, we've seen the best of PLD, and B, like, if he wants to be that true number one center, he's going to have to elevate his game a little bit, in my eyes. He's a very, like, if you could do a 1A and 1B, or he could be an elite number two, but I'm just not sure that he has what it takes to be that bona fide number one center, which I will leave you hanging. We'll get to what that means in a little bit. But speaking of people that want out...
It's a long list now.
Speaking of people that want out, apparently Blake Wheeler has approached the Jets and said, it might be time. It might be time for us to see other people.
Okay. So I this is interesting because I had interpreted it a bit differently in that the Jets had approached him about his no movement clause. And essentially, I think it's July 1st. That can his no movement clause sort of reverts to a 5-team trade list. And yeah, it's July 1st. Again, I think at the end of the day, it's tomato tomato. Doesn't really matter who's approaching whom. But if you know, it does
that conversation has taken place.
Right.
There's apparently a conversation has taken place. Who initiated it? I agree with you. Doesn't matter. Where they both sides looked at each other and said a fresh start may be warranted. Well, as fresh of a start could be when someone's 36 years old or however old Blake Wheeler is.
Right.
But Blake Wheeler may not be a part of the Winnipeg Jets come next season. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it'd be hypocritical for me to say anything other than this actually is probably a bit of a good news, whether it works out and what we use the cap space for. That's a whole different story. We've been very clear for years here that he's on the downside. Doesn't mean he hasn't been a productive Winnipeg Jet. Doesn't mean he hasn't been a valuable Winnipeg Jet. It's just that we're paying him over $8 million to not be that guy. And when you're paying older veteran forwards to not produce the money that you paid them, that's not great on your cap space, especially in our current situation. And so, again, if the intent of the Jets is to sort of rectify the relationship with Mark, with PLD, then to me this is almost a must, is that you need to clear some, you know, obviously you can try and jettison Dillon and Schmidt, those you know, some expensive contracts there. But I think, quite honestly, it's time for a different, better leadership. Whether it's good or bad, but I think there's too much evidence here. Liney wanted out. Scheifele wants out. PLD wants out. The Paul Wysik article, where basically it's one of the worst cultures in the league. Well, you know who's presided over that in the player dressing room? That's Blake Wheeler. So I'm not going to even equivocate about this. If we can ship him and get some pieces, I'm all for it. I'm in.
I agree. I don't think we'll get much for him.
No.
I think a logical landing point for him is Florida. You know, I think there might be a team that really wants to win now. I think you can make a credible... Listen, if Florida is global enough to take Paul Maurice, there's a much better case to be made why Blake Wheeler can still be a contributing part. I mean, he still is elite person, an elite player on the power play. And you know, maybe if you change his role a little bit in a new team, he can function better on a second or third line. I think the important thing here is with a new coach coming in, regardless of who that person is it appears very clear that this team needs more than a new voice in the locker room.
They need
a new culture and a new dynamic. And the possibility of that happening with a Wheeler Shifley captain, assistant captain standard in that continuing in the dressing room, yeah, you might going to get a new voice, but is it going to be heard? And that's going to be an important part. You need a leadership group, yeah, as you mentioned.
100% agree.
That is going to buy in and reinforce what the new voice is bringing in. And I don't think it's unreasonable to say that that's questionable if we keep Wheeler and Shifley as the leadership duo. We need a new culture. We need more than a new voice. That is unquestionably true. Whether, if we want PLD to stay, if that's the decision, we need a new culture in the dressing room. I don't think it's as bad as what people are saying. I really don't. But it doesn't mean that it's good. And it doesn't have to be that off.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't have to be that off to be a big problem in terms of getting elite results, right?
Yep.
It is professional sports. Everything needs to be in tune perfectly in order for you to have a chance at winning and doing something special. If it's off just a little bit, that might be enough. There's a fine line between winning and losing, and it doesn't take much to put you on the other side of that line. And I think it's very clear that whatever the culture is in that room, that it needs to be better, and it needs to be, shaken up, shook up. So I think a Wheeler departure might be a kind and unselfless act from someone who may still care about the Winnipeg Jets a little bit. Isn't that a nice way to look at what?
Wow. You glass
no,
half
but to
full
be honest,
that. That's no.
To be
you.
Honest, like it maybe part of this isn't about him hating Winnipeg and it being a shitty town and him wanting just to leave. Maybe he recognized, listen, like, maybe this is just one of those times where he's like, I fucked up, or
at least it's part of a fuck up.
Yeah, I will accept a small degree, certain degree of responsibility for this, and let's just part ways. I've loved my 10 years here. He's made $80 million here or whatever, certainly 50, whatever the number is.
Lots of cottages.
He's a six cottage guy. He's a six cottage guy. Multiple countries. Like, he's a continental cottage guy. He's got cottages all over the continent. No, but I do think that it would help us. And again, this is another piece in the puzzle that's building towards our kind of final conversation we're going to have here. But I was surprised to hear it. Perhaps he isn't up for a rebuild. Perhaps he isn't up for a demotion. Maybe he isn't, like, because he could still be the captain, but if he doesn't have the sway with the coach and in the room, all it is a letter on a sweater. He doesn't have that sway in the room and with the organization. And maybe he doesn't want that. He'd rather a change in scene than to take that big hit in the room. So,
yeah,
I think it could be good. A lot of possibilities. I think it could be good for both sides. So in terms of, fair play. Okay, fair play to Wheeler. If in fact he wants to move on for all the right reasons, there's another guy in that room who's recently been given a fair play award. Kyle Connor gets the Lady Bing.
Oh, good transition. Well
you like
done.
That?
That was very good.
Oh yeah, nice. So my question for you, like both, I think I can speak for you. We would send our sincere congratulations to Kyle Connor.
Absolutely.
For this award.
Well deserved.
Now, I do think it is well deserved. I think he was clearly the right choice. I don't think it was very
and the
close.
Votes. The votes accounted for that.
Now, I mean this with the great. I offer this with fun, and like, should we be impressed? Like, does the Lady Bing really impress you as an award? Does it mean anything?
No, I mean, in short answer is no. Like, for years growing up, it was just the other award that Wayne Gretzky won every year that no one cared about. And again, well-deserved Wayne Gretzky. it is something. I'm going to be mean here. And not mean, because, again, it's like the list of names, Forsberg, Korea. Yeah. Like, it's a very prestigious list of NHL players who have taken home this award, but it is sort of your consolation prize, right? It's like, you weren't the Maurice Richard winner. You didn't win the Hart Trophy. Here's someone who's really good and didn't get a lot of penalties. Is basically how that sums up. And
it's a weird one.
I was trying to think of an equivalent in any other professional sport, and I can't. But, you know, we're a sport that rewards 2 minutes for bleeding. So it's hockey's just a different animal to begin with. But it there's no equivalent award in any professional sport. And if somebody has one, let us know on Twitter, because I'd be interested to hear it. So it's sort of out there in nowhere land. It's an award. It recognizes great play. It recognizes sportsmanship, both great things. But the award itself just doesn't have that gravitas that you would think or hope. But again, that takes nothing away from Kyle Connor.
I really like the point you made up about the other people that have won this in the past. And they, like, you know, do they play the right way? Well, I don't know. They play without penalties. So that's generally a good thing. Hockey is a physical game. I think the game is best played with a physical component. I'm not trying to take away anything from Kyle Connor. But you're quite right. There's a long list of very accomplished Hall of Fame Mike players Rossi, that have won this award.
Yeah.
Players that, you know, they played the game in a respectable way. It's tough to say they played the game in the right way, because hockey is a physical game. There should be physical contact in it. There should be some, and with physical contact will come some penalties. But I guess maybe you say, here's a guy who's really careful with his stick, right? He's not waving a stick around and injuring other players. I don't know. It seems like a weird award to justify. Like, I'm having struggles articulating what's good about it, but at the same time, I'd like to congratulate Kyle Connor, it seems to be, amongst all of the other negativity, this should be a big positive thing, but it really kind of isn't, because I don't understand the award. But
yeah, maybe it just, you know, it's a good player who doesn't back check award. And speaking of which, Mark Scheifele.
Nice transition, my friend. Because it's my guy, allow me to start.
I will. I was gonna cede the floor.
To start.
Have at it.
So the question we were going to throw out there is: can 55 be rehabilitated? I do think that, you know, he's to be honest. You take a look at what PLD has said and what Scheifele has said. Scheifele's a lot more committed to this team than PLD is, right? Or at very least, their comments are equitable or equal in their desire to either stay or leave. Can 55 be rehabilitated? I think it's going to be tough. I really, really do. I think when all of these things are taken into account, the probability of him turning around and being the player we need him to be, with a new coach and without his sidekick Wheeler.
Right.
Might
be too much.
Be too much. It might be a bridge too far. And can he be rehabilitated? Well, absolutely, the answer is yes. What is the probability that he is going to magically come around and change? I think that is probably less than 50%. So I'm not... I don't know, Matt. I don't know what to think of this guy. You know, as a fan, your brain is super crazy. You think of all the craziest scenarios. And where my brain has been trending lately is that he may not be the nicest person. He may not be the most... He may be very stubborn and see things the way he sees things. You know, and he just may be impervious to coaching and reprofiling. So I'm worried about that. I really, really am. There's a lot of questions about everything that we've talked about. And so my answer to you, as I turn it to you, is yes, it's possible, but I'm not sure it's probable.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Chevy came out publicly and said, or quasi publicly, maybe it said, you know, they have no intent of trading him, but that means absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things, because that could be posturing, and until I hear it directly from Mark Scheifele himself, I'm not going to hold a lot of stock into that. The other sort of twist I had on it is, you know, everything you said is very, very valid, and I'm, you know, of like mind in terms of his game and his ability to sort of reinsert and invigorate his career with the Winnipeg Jets. I look at it a bit from a fan's perspective, because I think some of his comments at the end, and even his play this past year, I think you're going to have a decent size of the fan base that are done with him, and I might be one of those included, because to your point, is this sort of farm boy, squeaky clean, I don't swear image, I think I call it the Phil Mickelson, where you appear to be doing and saying all the right things, but he sounds, pardon my language, like a bit of an asshole,
yeah,
by all accounts. And it's like, I don't want to cheer for assholes. And I think what he did, and I said this before, was petulant and ill-advised. If we make a playoff run and he scores a hat trick, guess who's going to be put his hypocritical hat on?
Yeah,
Mike Guthrie. But at this stage, it's one of those where now we're getting rid of Wheeler, we're getting rid of Scheifele. This probably answers our last question here, but I approached it from the fan perspective, and I'm worried about that, just his ability to rehabilitate himself with the media and with the fans, and I'll put that at 50%.
Yeah, that's a good point, and yeah. It's going to be a tough one, and that brings us to our last question, and I think it's intending to encapsulate all of what we've talked about, right, into one answer, and that's tear it down or build it back up. I think that's where we're at right now, and I think it's boring to say what do we think the Jets will do, because I think we're talking 95% they're going to try to build it back up.
Yeah.
So let's have some fun. Tear it down or build it back up. You go first, Mike.
At this stage, again, we're at our lowest point, I think, in Winnipeg Jets 2-point history, because even when we were getting beat up in the first couple of years, there was a readily available excuse to say, well, we basically got a farm team and we've got a draft and developed. But this is something where if we're going to blow it up, I would say if we were getting a new GM, I would say blow it up. But this GM, and I know I'm sort of straddling the line between hypothetical and what the Jets will actually do, but I don't think this GM has it in him again to do that. My druthers
so
now
are
would
you
be
saying
yeah. Would
our GM is not Manscaped. Our GM is not Manscaped.
He has He's not got even hairy heard balls. Of Manscaped.
He's got hairy balls
and gray, but it's. I think, given the information that I have right now, Scheifele wants out. PLD has basically signed his marching papers in 2 years. Wheeler might not be in the league. And Hellebuck in 2 years is, you know, the shelf life on goalies is not very long. And I understand the impetus and the willingness to want to say, well, we at least have 2 years. Let's try and make a run now. And I'm watching Colorado, I'm watching Tampa Bay, I'm watching Florida, and if you take Wheeler and Scheifele, and depending what pieces you could put in, after the performance I saw last year, I know a coach can make a big difference. I wrote an article about it, but to me, it's almost at the point where it's like, all right, let's smash this building down and start from scratch. We can still get value for these players. The worst case scenario in my mind is that we try and piecemeal something together for 2 years, we don't have a lot of success, and then we get nothing for most of these sort of distressed assets, and now you're in a difficult position to rebuild. You know, I did an article on the Colorado Avalanche, and they were terrible for years, and I don't want that as a Winnipeg Jets fan.
No,
but that's how they built their core. They were bad for a bunch of, you know, a few years, and they picked in the top three in the draft and built their core out of that. Now, is that the only way to rebuild or retool? Absolutely not, but it is a way. And right now, that's, you know, I'll finish on this. I don't see, and I've been racking my brain, a clear path or even a muddy path to keeping all these balls in the air, jettisoning out some of our long stalwarts and bringing in a new coach and gelling quick enough to in this 2-year timeline. So that would be my lean right now. Do I want that? I don't even know. But I think that's probably the wise decision right now.
I'm with you. I'm changing my tune. I think it was entirely logical for the Jets to pursue a build it back or build, take a shot mentality last year. Like, it cost the manager cop for sure, but won't change everyone in that organization. In fact, they still may be suffering a little post-traumatic stress disorder from it. Everyone thought they were primed for a Stanley Cup run with the additions that they made in advance of last year. And everyone was shocked with the lack of performance that they got on the ice from that group. And so last year, I think it made a lot of sense. This year, I think you have to read the tea leaves in the sense that, you know, there are certain things, there are certain constellations aligning that really suggest to me that this we may have a window to tear it down and be able to rebuild quickly. And for me, I think Wheeler needs to go, period. I think regardless, here, here. We need a new dynamic in the room. I understand the attractiveness of keeping PLD and Shifley in the fold and trying to rehabilitate those two under a new head coach. I think they really thought Trotz could do that. Whether someone else can remains to be seen. But I think this year, with what PLD has said, and with the draft being in Montreal, and with Montreal holding the number one overall pick, and PLD expressing his desire that he would love to play for the Montreal Canadiens at some point in his career, and the euphoria that would be felt in the province if they were able to land, you know, a French-Canadian kid like PLD, you know, either a top-level center. I know I've said I'm not sure he's a number one center or not, but there's no guarantee whoever they'll draft will be any better than PLD is right now.
No, chances are probably not.
And they have Josh Anderson, right, who's played with PLD and scored a lot of goals on his wing. I think it is incumbent upon the Winnipeg Jets to explore with the Montreal Canadiens, can we get that number one overall pick?
Ooh, that's interesting.
For PLD and other stuff, right? So if you were to say, well, they'd never trade PLD for just the number one pick one for one. Okay, there's other pieces you can put in. You know, we can put in Logan Stanley. Or, you know, a Nate Schmidt. Or, you know, another defenseman. You know, we can sweeten the deal. We can make it a bigger deal so that it makes it worth the while for Montreal. But
I'm in on that
now,
man.
Now, if we can get that number one overall pick, I think it can set the dominoes in motion where you go, all right, Shifley can go out for another young player. Hellebuck can go to Edmonton. They're drooling over him in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Could we get an Evan Bouchard in a first-round pick for Connor Hellebuck? I mean, you have to look at Edmonton. They're elite players. They have two Hall of Fame players on their roster who are in the prime of their career. They need a goaltender. They need Connor Hellebuck. We could get serious good assets from Montreal.
I'm getting excited here, man.
So I'm saying, but it does kind of hinge upon getting something major for PLD. Because I do think Shifley is an attractive asset and we could get something solid for him. I don't think you're going to get anything of great note for Blake Wheeler. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but no, he's 36 he's expensive.
Yeah.
So we might get not much for him and still have to retain salary. But the value we get for shipping him out is the change of voice and culture in the dressing room, which the Jets need. It may allow us to do something like Josh Morrissey, you're now the captain. You know, Nick Ehlers, you're the assistant captain. Kyle Connor, you're the assistant captain. Those guys have paid their dues, and maybe those guys are the guys we want carrying the leadership role. Now, that is a different leadership group than who we've had. Yes, Morrissey was the assistant, but now he's the captain. And he's a pretty solid guy from everything
I've heard. Yep.
Exactly. So he's the type of guy I could see us entrusting the captaincy to. And then if you can bring in some interesting pieces, they're young. I think you get that first overall pick. You get some young, some really, really good young players. Some
dominoes
and,
going.
And maybe it's messy for a year or two, but if you load up on, we get a couple first rounders, like we have two first rounders this year, maybe we can get a first rounder for Edmonton for Hellebuck. I understand I'm being
optimistic?
Well, optimistic or speculative. I'm being absurdly speculative here, but I do think that the things are aligning. I do think with Montreal wanting to make a splash in their hometown, I think that PLD makes as much, if not a bigger splash in Montreal than drafting Shane Wright or someone from Finland with the first overall pick.
I couldn't agree more, and I couldn't say it better than that, and I'm excited. I was quasi-excited at the notion of sort of auctioning off pieces one by one, but I hadn't sort of quite connected the dots that you have here. And I'm like, can we hire you?
I am available. Bit,
but like I love that. And so I think that was what we had. I want to have a little fun on this one. So I've created a new game for us.
All right.
It's called Rod Peterson Said What?
Mr. Peterson? I think I owe you an apology, sir.
Well, I should say you do.
Okay.
And it's a true or false quasi trivia game for you. For those that aren't aware, and you probably are, because I'm a little obsessed with this idiot. But there's the Rod Peterson show. He's in Saskatchewan. He was tied with the NFL. I think he was an announcer. And he's got the show, and I don't know, he's got some hang up with the Jets where he just says ridiculous stuff, and this Trotz roller coaster really brought it home, because he's just I say it in sports jest, but he's just an idiot. And so I'm gonna read some quotes or fake quotes, and you'll let me know if this is something that Rod Peterson has said.
Okay, I love it, because I don't pay any attention to Rod Peterson. So to our
you're better, dozens you live of a better life of than listeners, me.
To our dozens of listeners, this is not a rigged game.
Okay, so this one you probably will have, for what it's worth, but instead of writing it out, it's FWIW. Barry Trotz allegedly told two guys in a gas station in Swift Current he's going to coach the Winnipeg Jets. True or false?
Well, he did say that.
Yes. It never happened. First one was a bit of a layup. The second one is, this looks like a really good hire for the Florida Panthers.
I'm going to say, yeah, he said that.
Oh, you're good. He did. He just tweeted that. And he had a little sound clip of him just exonerating Paul Maurice to the fullest extent and then just lauding him about his great coaching abilities.
All right.
This is a little off topic for hockey, but this is the tweet. Okay. Sunshine emoji, umbrella emoji, wave emoji, exclamation point.
No, he didn't do that.
He didn't, but he did do sunshine emoji, cloud emoji, wave emoji, exclamation point, with no context.
All right.
Sorry, I'm picking on him.
He's a different cat. I don't know if I mean his backstory is both good and bad. I know his backstory a little bit, but yeah, he's a different dude.
And with the last one, did he profess? We should keep Lowry and Pionk and trade Kyle Connor.
Oh my goodness, really? Like, I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna, for the sake of humanity.
No, he said it.
Oh, my goodness.
He said that, too. That's when I first, my tracker beam, is I saw that clip. And I wrote back to him on Twitter, because that's what tough guys do. And I had a very deep question about what the heck he was thinking. And to their credit, they respond every time I take pot shots. Oh, yeah. Their producer responded once. So it's a... I probably a hate relationship. Okay. That's one sided because he's got a much larger platform.
So they're like your wife.
Well said. So that was it. Thank you for participating. It was a bit cathartic for me, so I appreciate it.
Well, yeah, he's a bit of a reclamation project. He, I think he was involved with the Rough Riders for a long, long time, and had a bit of a falling out of the ways. He goes to Monday meetings, if you know what I mean, and has changed his life. But he's a different cat. He's just a different cat. So now he's on the straight and narrow. But
well, now I feel a bit bad.
I don't know, man. Like he's
doesn't he change doesn't, that he doesn't should be talking pass. Hockey. Yeah.
Like, you know, you're still like you're an AA, but you're still responsible for what you said. And like, we're not questioning his worth as a human being. We're saying what you said doesn't make sense or is factually inaccurate. And yeah, you know, is it? I came across something the other day on Twitter, and it was like someone had ranked like I'm gonna list every team, and I'm gonna list their good players, like their top players, like a players that would be above a certain level, right? And like, so some teams will have 9. It's like, okay, those are the better teams. Some teams only have 5. It's like, well, that's a bottom feeder team kind of thing. And so you go and check the Winnipeg Jets, and all the cast, usual cast of characters are there. And this, so a lot of work seems to have gone into this. But Neil Pionk is on the list. And, yeah, and Dylan DeMello still, is not. It's just like, all right, listen, I cannot believe anything on this list now. Because you clearly don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, or you don't
you
watch the
games. You clearly don't watch games, yeah. Nor did you even look at the at available stats. You're going off, oh, I recognize his name. Or he had a good year last year. Like, I'm sorry, Neil Pionk did not play. Anyways, so the point is, you know, sometimes when some people say stuff, it's like, you just need to stop listening.
Yeah, and the other lesson is that is we know better than most.
Oh, we sure do. And that's why we are a narrative-setting podcast. We always have been, and we will continue to be. That's why we get sent free stuff. How many podcasts get sent free stuff? Well, probably most of them.
But that's okay.
But that's not the point. The point is, we just got some of our first free stuff, and we're in the big leagues now.
Go Manscaped.
Narrative-setting podcast.
All right, you want to take us out?
So, fellow travelers, that's it for this episode of the podcast. Thanks for joining us in the Airport Lounge, the official Face-Off Hockey Network podcast for the Winnipeg Jets. Check us out on Twitter at Airport Lounge 55, on the interweb at thefhn.net, with all episodes also available on Apple, Spotify, and Overcast Podcasts. Be sure to come back next time to the Airport Lounge, because the first round is always on us. Until then, go Jets go.
Manscaped. Everybody!